There is this thing. Do you realize do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Hello, welcome back to Unfit to Print. This is CKUT on 90.3 FM, broadcasting not live, but still from Montreal. My name is Pilar Steers.
I'm Melody Bucchino.
And I'm Sophie Howe.
Today we broadcast from Geogeage, the traditional territory of the Haoden, Saoni, and Anishinaabe nations. The time now is 5 p.m. Today is my first episode as radio host, and I'm super excited to be here. I want to give a major shout out and thank you to Amy Lloyd, who has been host of Unfit for the past 2 years and has taught me everything I know about radio. Thank you, Amy. I'd also like to welcome Sophie and Melody to the show, who are joining me as my co-hosts. I'm very lucky to have them here.
For today's feature, we're covering OnlyFans and the implications of the site nearly banning sexually explicit content in relation to sex workers whose work is the foundation of the online platform's success. Although the platform is no longer removing sexually explicit content, it brings into question the nature of these platforms and capitalism at large. Another example being Tumblr, which banned sexually explicit content in 2018, which thrive off the success of sex workers and then abandon them.
Before we dive into that, we've got headlines discussing current COVID-19 stats in Quebec and Montreal, McGill's lack of implementing the vaccine passport, and a recent protest in Montreal against a pipeline called Line 3.
Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back after a short break.
Just give me a second before I pack up my boxes and shut you out of my life. Just give me a minute so I can drink up the feeling we had just one last time. Your shadow stained the carpet, so I got hardwood floors. I don't sleep anymore. We move to the rhythm of the traffic on the street, the street. I try to dance now, but I can't feel no beat, no beat.
Oh, baby, you'll find my eyes.
this gets too loud. I feel you calling me home. Will you catch me when I fall? Will you catch me when I fall? Will you catch me when I fall? In your sunshine, will you catch me when I fall? Will you catch me when I fall? Been a lot of talking, darling, about me feeling blue. It's a lovely talk till I walk the walk and eat. Figured if the tree's still standing after such a storm, there must be a way. I gotta stay just a few steps to reach that door. You need to know I made up my mind. I'll be gone tomorrow. I made up my mind. You won't. Till we catch a wall and eat. Figured if the light's still pouring under such a cloud, there must be a way. I don't gotta flake, just a few leaves to reach that goal. You need to know.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. That was The City by Ella Jane, followed by Mind Made Up by Dominique Fille-Aimé. Now for our weekly headline roundup. As Quebec reports 699 new cases of COVID-19, the highest number of new infections since mid-May, recent updates state that universities in Montreal will not impose vaccine mandates. Furthermore, the INESSS is expecting an uptick in hospitals as, quote, cases in the province are up for the seventh week in a row, unquote, raising concerns for rising capacity in intensive care units and hospitals. In more updates, restaurants in Montreal are urging citizens to register for vaccine passports, not only for safety purposes, but to help put the city back on track to normality. Restaurants also continue to address the labor shortage. Quote, the next step should be to get as many as possible back to work, unquote. Along with restaurants, sports arenas will now also require proof of vaccination for attendees. Regarding elementary schools, there is now discussion of added safety measures as, quote, the number of new cases is triple what it was when schools reopened last year, unquote. Going into some statistics, a total of 390,613,000 infections have now been confirmed in Quebec since the first reported case in 2020. However, in good news, the number of hospitalizations due to the virus has remained stable at 138, with only 30% of patients in intensive care. Quebec also continues to administer vaccine doses and has now officially administered 88% of the doses the province received.
As of September 1st, 2021, anyone in Quebec must present proof of vaccination in the form of a vaccine passport in order to access many non-essential services. With the passports now in effect, many of McGill's staff, students, and parents are disappointed and frustrated with McGill as the university does not require the students attending in-person classes to have their passport. The Montreal Gazette reports that, quote, several hundred professors called for a vaccine mandate and outlined grave concerns about the university's return to campus plan, unquote, stressing the importance of vaccine passports since there are no physical distancing requirements in place in the university. The official McGill response was that, quote, vaccination is a medical procedure. Under Quebec law, people have the right to refuse to undergo a recommended medical procedure unless otherwise provided for in law, unquote. To which members of the Faculty of Law at McGill were quick to point out that this was, quote, factually inaccurate, end quote. Their letter response, signed by 35 McGill law professors, explained that the university would not be requiring people to get the vaccine, the medical procedure in question, and instead just to require the proof that they've received both doses. McGill's failure to provide a safe working and learning environment is disappointing, and we hope that the continuing efforts of staff and students eventually result in a change in the school's policies.
Recently, on August 20th, there was a protest outside of RBC in Montreal. Protesters stood in solidarity against said bank's funding of Line 3, a pipeline in Minnesota. This pipeline has been around since the 60s and, according to an article by the McGill Daily, was the cause of, quote, America's largest ever inland oil spill, unquote. The protesters highlighted the prominence of colonialism in the fossil fuel industry, stating that, quote, we recognize the connections between fossil fuels, colonialism, and extractionism, unquote. The Daily spoke to Katie Gilbrath, a geo, environment, and Indigenous studies student, who said, quote, pipelines like Line 3 are deliberately routed through Indigenous communities, they said, where they inevitably poison water and land, unquote. The impacts of the pipeline detrimentally affects Indigenous communities being wronged by the government in power. The Daily also spoke to Zahour Ashrafuzaman, someone who saw the effects of the pipeline firsthand. He highlighted how, as long as RBC supports the pipeline, they are not committing to truth and reconciliation.
That was our weekly headline roundup. Now it's time for some fun tunes and then our audio essay.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. That was Persona by Marie Davidson and Loe Nu, followed by Rust, Feet Ruby by Theo Davis. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
Today, we will be discussing the implications of OnlyFans nearly banning sexually explicit content earlier in August, retracting the statement only 6 days later, and how the announcement has affected the countless sex workers who use the platform as a safe form of income. We will begin by giving some background information on OnlyFans and how it grew to be a billion-dollar platform, then delving into its use for sex workers before and during the pandemic, as well as how famous influencers such as Bella Thorne exploited the site's purpose. We will largely be discussing how OnlyFans' near decision to ban sexually explicit content has impacted its workers, and how yet another large corporation has profited off the work of sex workers without ensuring reliability. Although OnlyFans retracted the statement and still intends to allow sexually explicit content, the almost ban brings into light a much larger issue of a capitalist society which does not protect sex workers.
I will be discussing how OnlyFans started and how it developed into the site it is today. OnlyFans was launched in 2016 by Tim Stokey and was started to provide creators with a platform where they could, quote, monetize their content while developing authentic relationships with their fan base, end quote. OnlyFans is subscription-based, allowing creators to promote an element of exclusivity with their viewership. Since 2016, OnlyFans has grown into a billion-dollar business thanks to the work of sex workers who popularized the site. According to an article by India Times in more recent years, quote, OnlyFans gained a global following for being sex-positive, allowing sex workers the opportunity to maintain steady incomes while ensuring their safety, unquote. Earlier in August, the site announced that it would be banning all sexually explicit content starting October 1st, abandoning the sex workers whose work created the success of the site. This policy change is contrary to the site, which claims to be, quote, accepting creators from all genres, unquote. Going more into the site's false appearance of acceptance, the site largely benefits from its sex-positive reputation, attracting many viewers and creators. And yet the platform planned to ditch these morals and the many creators who rely on the site for safe income. The online platform claimed that banning sexually explicit content was necessary to, quote, in order to ensure the long-term sustainability of the platform and continue to host an inclusive community of creators and fans, they must evolve their content guidelines, unquote. This reasoning seems very questionable as a billion-dollar business. Surely there are other ways to evolve content guidelines rather than retracting something so central and important to the site. Although the site claims they were able to resolve their security issues, the problem still stands. That being a disregard for sex workers and how necessary it is to ensure the stability in their income, which is now uncertain. Just because OnlyFans isn't banning sexually explicit content this time, who's to say the company won't change its mind again?
With more than 130 million users, OnlyFans has become a very profitable platform for many sex workers. Its sizable gross value, predicted for next year, is due mostly to the sex workers posting pornographic content on the site for their fans. Despite its financial success, OnlyFans made an announcement to ban sexually explicit content due to conflictions with credit card company guidelines. It recently suspended these plans after facing major backlash from users and content creators. However, despite its retraction of the statement, the potential abrupt change in policy left sex workers and content creators reminded of the harsh reality of the vulnerability they face when it comes to having security from adult content sites. Had the policy gone through, creators would have been banned from showing content with actual or stimulated sexual intercourse. Sex workers already face a lot of scrutiny from society and are constantly forced to adapt to changing guidelines. Safe adult content websites give sex workers a much safer work environment, allowing them to screen clients and move away from street-based work. However, with the rise of online sex work, came censorship from the companies running the websites. Censorship on platforms such as Tumblr and Instagram are very harmful to sex workers and increased economic instability.
Now we'll be talking about some creators on the site and discussing their firsthand experiences with the near ban. Justine Aquarius, a creator on the platform, spoke to Business Insider on OnlyFans' recent announcements. Aquarius has 35,000 fans who subscribe to view the creator's adult content. According to Insider, quote, Aquarius feels jerked around by the platform, unquote. After retracting the ban, OnlyFans stated how the site would, quote, continue to provide a home for all creators, unquote. Despite this seemingly assuring message by the site, Aquarius and many other creators can no longer rely on the site, quote. She has already lost hundreds of subscribers in a mass exodus of OnlyFans users, unquote. Even though the site did a 180, some creators were still negatively affected, losing a portion of their subscription base. Aquarius expressed frustration with the site and its deceitful nature, stating, quote, did OnlyFans really think they could continue to have that revenue without the creators who built it, promoted it, and funneled all their fans from across social platforms to this site? Unquote. Insider also spoke to Lydia Love, a sex worker who has used OnlyFans for almost 5 years. After the ban announcement, Love removed her explicit photos from the site and is opting to, quote, focus on other platforms, unquote. Love spoke to Insider regarding the site switch back to normal, saying, quote, I'm sure that they believe that this has made sex workers feel better and want to stay on the site, but if anything, I have less trust in the company now, unquote.
Now I will be discussing the variety of creators on OnlyFans and how celebrity involvement in the site has negatively affected the use of the platform for sex workers. At its birth, OnlyFans was a subscription service for many different types of content, ranging from music to recipes. However, the structure of the platform made it a great site for the exchanges between sex workers and the consumers of explicit content. News Statesman reports that OnlyFans initially took a 20% fee on earnings, leaving the creators with the remaining 80%, not to mention the site paid them in a 7-day turnaround. The site gained popularity when lockdown hit, with reportedly, quote, traffic to the site more than doubled between March and August, unquote, having more than 24 million registered users by May of 2020. After this initial surge was when celebrities began creating accounts on the platform, but not to only deliver sexual content. Instead, some would share shoutouts, behind-the-scenes images, and other generally exclusive content. The influx of celebrities caused many issues for sex workers that had built the platform up to what it is today. One of the most prominent issues is that sex workers are being booted from the top of the site's recommendations and rankings, as celebrities take their spots having had such big platforms outside of OnlyFans. Another issue a creator mentioned to New Statesman was surrounding the treatment of sex workers, saying, quote, I once had 5,000 likes disappear from my page for no reason, unquote, and that site administrators, quote, take weeks to reply to emails, unquote. Moreover, the culture that comes along with pop-ups from celebrities doing OnlyFans for fun or as a hobby devalidates the work of the sex worker community.
Bella Thorne is one of said celebrities who joined and made more than $2 million in a week after more than 50,000 people subscribed to her page. In fact, according to the Rolling Stone, Thorne was the first creator to make $1 million in one day. She'd advertised selling nudes, but the subscribers were frustrated when instead they were given photos of Thorne in lingerie instead, prompting thousands of refund requests. OnlyFans announced changes to the platform, with many of the new rules negatively affecting sex workers. New Statesman reports that, quote, these new rules included a cap on the amount of tips users could give creators during their first 4 months on the platform, from $200 down to $50, and an increase in the time it took for money to be paid to creators, from 7 days to 21 days. The company has said that the changes and the Thorne controversy were unrelated, but sex workers saw it differently, unquote.
Drastic changes like these have put many sex workers in difficult situations, as some rely on the platform as their primary source of income. It is the thoughtlessness of celebrities like Thorne which has damaged the use of the site for sex workers who make a living from the platform. To conclude, OnlyFans' decision to ban sexually explicit content and then reverse this decision brings forth a much larger issue of a disregard for sex workers and the danger of a capitalist system which holds too much power, where in some cases, the livelihoods of those working under these systems is compromised. Thank you so much for listening. That was our audio essay on OnlyFans and its unreliability for sex workers. Now it's time for a quick music break, but don't go anywhere because up next we've got our resource list.
You hold my hand till the end.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. That was Sunlight by Yuno, followed by Elevate by St. Lucia. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM. Now it's time for our resource list. These are just some outreach and educational sources regarding today's segment. First up, we have Stella Montreal. To quote the site, Stella's primary mission is to improve quality of life and working conditions for female-identified sex workers, to educate the greater public on the different ways that sex work happens, as well as about our lived experiences as sex workers, so that sex workers might also enjoy and benefit from the same rights to safety and security that are commonplace for other people, unquote. The site has a ton of educational material and resources to stay informed. Check it out at shaystella.org.
Also check out the Canadian Alliance for Sex Work Law Reform, working to help shift laws and dialogue around sex work in Canada.
Next, we have Fanhouse. If you're a creator or viewer on OnlyFans, check out Fanhouse as an alternative. Jasmine is a sex worker and co-founder of the site, which is also subscription-based. However, Fanhouse does much more to protect its creators than OnlyFans, where creators can receive, quote, death threats and harassment, unquote. Further, Fanhouse takes a smaller commission from its creators compared to OnlyFans' 20% from all transactions.
Now we've got some tunes picked out, but we'll be back at the end of the episode.
Pebble, pebble.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. That was Tune Yards by Powa, followed by First Love Late Spring by Mitski. You're listening on CKUT 90.3 FM, broadcasting not live, but still from Montreal. This is the closing of my first episode as radio host. I'm super excited to be here, and I had a lot of fun being co-host last year, and I can't wait to bring you guys content. All right, thank you, and have a good Tuesday. We're going to be leading out with two more songs, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Playing us out, we have Space Cadet by Biba Doobie, followed by This Is Just a Story by Run for Short, and Hearing Your Voice by Omar Apollo.
broke your heart. You crashed your daddy's car, flew out the window and broke your left arm. Lately you've been wrong. California's no way you belong. Maybe I'll be the one that you like. Out a guitar, plays you Oasis and touches your arm. I know you've been wrong. Pills in your drink, your rage can't be your guard. Maybe I'll be the one that you like.
I've been jealous, often dating. Know you stole my fucking phone and probably read something real crazy. Heard you change your name and lovers. Wish that I could call you baby, but that's not fair. You got everything.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends. She got a new dress. She went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Cast the following program entirely in the Mohawk language. The Mohawk, or Ganyatgahaga, are the original people of the unceded traditional territory known as Montreal, or Chojaake. The Ganyatgahaga, or people of the Flint, have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio. And now, listen to Chojaake's indigenous language on CKUT.
What Gwe gana sa da ke hro no, da no ak te no za wa da hon sa da. Ona re giga I idne da ha swa te ta.
Da no I na wahne diyo.
Da no are a ya gini wanaras te giga ni a deko a ya gini taara gwe toga a ya gini gwe ni